Hi to all. This is Theo Kostastavros with Crowd Policy, and this is Innovation Talks, where we discuss with friends and colleagues about technologies and interesting topics that we find. Today, we're talking about the InFintech project, a pan-European fintech and insurtech related project. And I'm very happy to have with me Pavlos Kranas. He's one of the main project managers of the project. We will discuss a few things around the technical aspect and how it works, and you know, what are the actual consequences for the European as a whole. So, hi, Pavlos. Good to have you here.
Hello, all. Happy to be with you.
Great to have you here. And you know, it's actually the third podcast that we're running on the InFintech project, where we discuss. We have discussed already with Ernesto Riano, who is the project leader of the InFintech project, and with John Soldatos, who is a scientific advisor. So we've seen the project from different angles. And today we will be discussing a few more things on the actual technical things and how this works. Before we start, though, can you just give us a few information about yourself and you know who you are, how you ended up working on this?
So, okay. So my name is Pavlos Kranas, and I'm a senior software engineer with much experience in the, let's say, the field of data management systems. I also hold a PhD from the Polytechnical University of Madrid in the area of software systems and computation, focusing obviously in the database management systems. So 5.5 years ago, I joined LinuxScale. LinuxScale is a Spanish SME based in Madrid. And now I'm working there as a software engineer and Java backend developer. And since I joined the company, I'm taking care and execute all the European integrated research projects that the company is mostly participating. So in InFintech in particular, LinuxScale is leading all the technical tasks that are related with data management activities, and we are contributing with our novel database. It's what we are calling that as InFinistore in the context of this project. So most probably Ernesto or John have mentioned that. And so we are leading all the activities related with the ultra-scalable transactional processing of the database, and also with our novel technology, which are called the online aggregates, that allows you to do real-time analytics on top of operational data. Apart from that, LinuxScale is also leading the technical management of the whole project. And as a fact, I am one of the managers, so I'm the technical coordinator of InFintech.
That's very interesting. And I know there are many, many different pilots we've already discussed with the other speakers about these examples, but you know, just to get a better understanding of how the InFintech works, can you give us an explanation of how does it work and how the InFintech array differentiates from other architectural designs, and of course how this design helps the pilots to advance according to the goals?
Okay, so you know, I'm coming from a technical background, so I will be from a technical perspective, but not, you know, that much, not go to that much technical details, so all the people get bored.
Yes,
so
please.
First of all, okay, the InFintech reference architecture, we need to focus that it's a reference architecture. So that provides the guidelines to develop the complex integrated solutions that are targeting the fintech and insurance sector. So it is combined of different layers, and each one of those are targeting specific needs. So we have a layer dedicated to the data management aspect, other related with the semantic interoperability, so that we can interconnect and interlink data coming from different and heterogeneous resources. Other layers are for the AI analytics. Also, we have layers for dedicated to the blockchain technologies, vertical layers for the building blocks that are related with the data governance activities and the regulatory compliance tools. So what is important here is that all the software building blocks that are in all these layers can be considered as loosely coupled. So therefore, it's not a single architecture that can cover all the needs of all the use cases. Rather than each of the use cases can use the reference architecture as a guideline and explore the specific building blocks that are inside to solve the specific problems that they face in this case. So each use case can instantiate, let's say, a different architecture that is derived from our reference definition. And as the building blocks, this is the most important, are loosely coupled, they can be combined in an integrated solution in either way. And that allows to facilitate and allows the flexibility of our proposal. because each of the pilot can use that and build their own, let's say, instance of the architecture to solve the particular needs that they need. Also, the important thing is that also with the reference architecture, we have also set up the guidelines for this, let's say, the continuous integration and delivery that also further facilitates the deployment of the integrated solutions and also helps for the portability. So this is what we call it at the very end, the infinite way for developing and deploying such integrated solutions that targets both the insurance and the finance sector.
I see. So before you explain a bit more about what the infinite way is particular, just as a summary from what I understand, I'm not a technical person, so what a reference architecture is practically a common guideline across the different pilots. So just to have a commonality, let's say, across the vocabulary or the things that you work on in a particular domain. In this case, this is around fintech, insurtech, etc. And by this, we have created during the project the Infintech Way, which is an architecture that can you give us a bit more? Like, how does it work and what does it actually mean for someone who is not very relevant to the project itself?
So you can consider that you have the Infintech reference architecture that provides the guidelines and provides the links of all the offerings of Infintech. And then for each of the pilots, we have sit together with them, with the technical architecture or the lead architecture of them and us, to see, you know, exactly the deployment diagram and how this architecture can solve the components. So this is, let's say, how we can call it as a guideline, but also the Infintech way that we are calling is exactly this guidelines and methodology for developing and continuously integrating and delivering, let's say, these complex architectural solutions for these two sectors. And Infintech provides a variety of different components from different domains, as I was saying, from data management tools and data stores, blockchain technologies, we have machine and deep learning analytics, and we are all using well-established open APIs and standards that allows the interconnection in such a ways of the intermediate building blocks. Okay, so having that, this allows the reusability of the tools that are offered by the Infintech. So in the sense that we haven't developed tools and algorithms targeting specific needs, but we have developed, let's say, software for general purposes that can be exploited to solve different problems in particular domains. So having that, each of the pilot or each of the potential customer in the future can further develop their own AI algorithms to solve particular problems that they use, but can benefit from the technology that are offered by Infintech that, as I said, can be reused because it's of general purpose. And we provide the Infintech way that we were mentioning, provides also guidelines to create these so-called sandboxes that can be easily deployed over virtualized environment. And once the sandbox is defined, then it can be instantiated, stopped, recreated in different infrastructures so that it can be used to test specific specific cases. Particularly, that is how we can do it. We are doing it in Infintech, as we have AWS as a test bed, let's say, of the project to experiment for experimentation. So for there, we define and we experiment, we play with the sandboxes. And once these are created, then it can be used, you know, into the, let's say, the test bed that we have, the operational test bed we have in production as a project, so that proves the portability of our proposition. Or in case that we have, you know, private institutions like, you know, banks or, you know, this type of huge financial organizations, they can use that to deploy them on their premises because due to the privacy issues, they cannot, you know, go data outside. So this is what we are calling, let's say, the Infintech way that facilitates all these phases for solving the problem from designing, developing, and finally integrated and deployed and maintained.
Yes, that's very nice. So we are not talking only about the pilots that are currently in the project. Anyone who would like to be part of this can just visit the website and find more information. We will be discussing about this a bit more later on. But just to get a better understanding of, you know, how this actually works, I know you're an expert in the data management space. And can you give us just some current like pains or gains that are currently the most important in the fintech or insurtech domain, according to your experience?
Yes, that would be, you know, a particular pain and recurrent, that happens recurrently, let's say, in the finance and insurance sector, that we have identified through the pilots that we have with the project, but also from Linux scale that we have seen, you know, with our clients or with our proof of concept, that this is super recurrently. It's very common. It's a very big obstacle, is to be able to perform real-time analytical processing over operational data that has been generated at the same time at a very high velocity. So what does it mean? Firstly, this is needed for data users or scientists to achieve, you know, real-time business intelligence. So get insights and knowledge in real time in order, you know, to be able to respond or get notified very, very rapidly. This is, for instance, the case of fraud detection, that or when we can see some abnormalities and we need to interact at that point, or better, to detect opportunities that might appear, but for a very, very small period of time, due to, you know, very increased peaks, very, very intense peaks of let's say of financial rates. So traditionally, how we solve that? Incoming data are being stored, okay, into operational data stores of an organization. But having that, this prevents analytical processing, because analytical processing is always competitive to the operational one. So to put up simply, the one blocks the other, so they cannot run at the same time in the same database traditionally. Okay, so to overcome this, a common pattern is to rely on complex so-called Lambda architectures, but they are very difficult to maintain, or better, the organizations are doing what we are calling data offloading. The data offloading means that they are periodically move data from the operational data store that accepts the data in the first place to an analytical data warehouse. Then they are capable to perform such analytical processing to get this insight, you know, to push down operations that and then get data to do any machine or deep learning. Mm-hmm. Then having that means that we have periodic batches that process to take data from one to the other. That takes a lot of time, and depending the size of the data that should be moved, it can last, you know, up to 1 or 2 days. So this is why this process usually takes place during the night in the banks or during the weekends. So this means that when we have AI algorithms that are performing any machine or deep learning processing, they are targeting obsolete data set because they are always outdated. They are getting insights from data of the previous day or the previous week. Therefore, they can never do real-time business intelligence. And this is not something that is very, very difficult to be achieved. So this is a recurrent pain that we see in all the sector.
I see. So this is across. Is there any new technologies or new ways to do that, or are we trying to find, you know, new ways of doing this a bit more efficiently? Maybe I don't know if this is the exact word I should be using, but you know, it sounds like an area that improvements will come at some point.
Exactly. This is what also with fintech we have tackled, because using our technologies developed within fintech. The building blocks that are reusable and everybody can rely upon, that I was telling before, and we can manage to overcome this particular pain in this sector. So one of the main outcomes of the project is the InfiniStore, which is the main data store of the project that relies on the database of Linux K. So now it has integrated all the outcomes of the work that has been developed throughout the scope of the project in the various technical activities. And right now, we can have it on one hand. It allows for data ingestion at very high rates, ensuring transactional semantics. So this means that we can ensure data consistency, durability, atomicity of operations, etc., etc. And also the implementing mechanism is not blocking in case of failures, and can so it means that you can achieve data ingestion at the rates of millions of records per second. So this outperforms any of the known competitors, and it's suitable candidate to replace, let's say, existing systems that are used to allow ingestion data in very, very high velocity, which is usually what happens in banks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So whatever another thing is that we have a novel functionality that we call it online aggregates, and this allows for data users to perform concurrent aggregated operations very, very effectively. And we do so by pre-calculate the results of the aggregated operations once the data has been ingested. Imagine, for instance, that we need to have the average or the, let's say, the maximum amount of transfer inside the region of Madrid in real time. So as data has been ingested, calculated all the time. So when we need this info, we don't need to scan the whole table and have this info at the very, very efficiently. But okay, the pre-calculated thing is something that everybody could have thought. The innovation here lies that we continue to ensure transactional semantics when data is being ingested. And we have implemented this novel multi-versional concurrency control that actually we have created a pattern for that during the scope of the project. So to put it simply, we avoid the high contention of transactions that we could observe using traditional SQL technologies if we pre-calculated disaggregated data. So while ensuring now database transactions that the NoSQL world does not ensure, then this is very important for banks and finance organizations at the end. So with our technology, the data user can perform real-time analytical processing that use the same obstacle while the data has been ingested at that very high rate, ensure data consistency all over, and in fact, it doesn't have to do all this periodic batch of the migrating data to one data store to the other. So we can actually have this real-time business intelligence using this technology that we have developed.
That's it sounds super exciting. You know, from what I understand, it sounds like there's a shift going towards like something that will change a lot of things, because if you can improve all this, I don't know what are the possibilities there. To make it a bit more practical, and I know that you've been working with many different pilot projects throughout the program, the FinTech project. So can you give us like a few specific examples on how you have been utilizing these new technologies and processes to improve current operational parts?
Yes, this is, as I was saying, this is a common problem. So this happens recurrently in everyone. So for instance, in Infinity, if you have a specific pilot that needs to get the feed of all the finance rates and then calculate it and provide opportunities on that in the real time. So imagine that we can have a vast amount of data being ingested every second, and then we need to do analysis on that. So we are using our technology to be able to accept this ingestion rate, and also to allow, you know, pre-calculate the values, because we have, let's say, let's give me this currency or this rate during the last minute or hour or day. And all this are pre-calculated at that time. And we don't even need to have, you know, this complex operation in the databases as these values are pre-calculated, and then everything is being executed very, very efficiently. Outside of the Infinitec, let's say, ecosystem, internally as Linux Scale, we have, you know, also exploring, you know, this data path, and we have, you know, all the time the same problem that there are organizations with very, very high volumes of data that they need to put them, you know, outside of their operational data store and to perform analytics somewhere. So with our technology that have this IBIS transaction analytical processing, firstly, we are allowed to do this analytics, and then with instead of having these organizations offload the data that would take them 1 week or, you know, a couple of days, and, you know, if something fails, you need to repeat it. So actually you have lost the current view of the data. We can do that, and we are able to reduce this latency from a couple of days to a couple of hours, or, you know, in just 1 or 2 hours, depending on the volume. So you can understand how critical this could be for such organizations to be able to do that very, very shortly. So at the end, they do analytics on real data.
Amazing, amazing. It's I cannot really imagine what is going to happen once you have, you know, put this in position for everybody to use. And this is the goal of the InfinTech project, is to create this type of technology, new synergies, and build the future, actually. Thank you very much, Pavlos, for all this. I know that, you know, this is something that is a project going on for the past 4 years, and this is something that will keep being evolving and progressing throughout, even after the official ending of the project. So for anyone out there who would like to get in touch or get involved or use all these interesting things that we're producing, what do you think they should do, and what is the approach they should be taking to, you know, to find more about the InfinTech project and the InfinTech way in particular?
Actually, this is very easy, because in InfinTech, we have developed our own marketplace, and there is where all the offerings of the project can be explored. So this means that the user can sign in and then explore the catalog of the marketplace to get information about the various software artifacts that have been produced during, you know, the scope of the project during these last 3 or 4 years, find useful information of how to use them, examples of use, other interesting materials, and also we can have, you know, they can use notebooks, so the users of the marketplace can rely, you know, can really put their hands, you know, and rely on that, and put their hands on our technology and experiment by themselves. Also, apart from that, okay, the one part is the software artifacts that have been developed, but also the marketplace contains also the various models that have been developed within the project, or other open data sets that we have produced, and we have opened them and make them publicly available, or other interesting materials such, you know, documentation, scientific papers that have been written during these last years, webinars, results of the various hackathons that we have organized, you know, and other material. So everything would be there, and this is, you know, a single point of access, and everyone can sign up and go there and explore all the offerings and see how everything continues to get involved, evolved.
Thank you very much. Yes, I will include all the links on this podcast, so everybody can find out about all this interesting information. One thing I would like to mention that is quite new, actually. It's for startups or for teams that would like to start now. They can go to the marketplace, which is marketplace.infinitech/h2020.eu. And they can connect with us and find various business models or ideas or support on, you know, other than technical stuff. It's very interesting for anyone who's just starting out now, because the goal of all this is to create the synergies and, you know, work together so we can do this in a nice way and create results that will be valuable for everyone out there. Thank you so much, Pavlos, for this. It was quite interesting. I hope that you know, people can find out more and they understood what we were talking about. It was a bit more technical, but it feels like you know, there are many, many things that have happened so far. And thank you so much for you personally and the whole team for doing this throughout these years. Any closing remarks, something that you would like to say to the people that are listening?
I would like to thank you for your time, and hope I wasn't that much technical. I tried, you know, to put the technology in the scope of the problems that the technology need to solve. It's, you know, it's firstly the problems that the technology follows to solve them, not producing technology, and then we try to create problems to use the technology. So it's, in the FinTech, I believe that we'll do it the right way. We'll take and, you know, understand the problems, the pains, and we try, you know, to advance the technology to give solutions to, you know, to those pains.
Yes, I totally agree. Thank you once again, and it was lovely to speak with you. And we will be in touch, and, you know, maybe come back for another session on this. It was a great chat. Thank you, Pavlos. Have a good
Thank
day.
You. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye all.